Monitor with another bit of wisdom from Phyllis Diller's Marriage Manual. This is in what's called the appendix of the book. Actually, it's titled An Appendix for Brides Young Enough to Still Have One. In planning a wedding, Miss Diller points out, the bridegroom provides the rehearsal dinner the night before the ceremony. In other words, he pays for the pizzas. Also, it's poor taste to have cheerleaders at a wedding. Music and a strange song from Harry Belafonte.
It's a strange song about a boy who went wrong. Tried to make it up inside his heart and start again to make amends for living his strange life. It's better make a change for it.
A good combination on Monitor, played by Al Caiola.
Thank you.
This is Monitor. I'm your host, Ted Steele. You'll hear how they brought the giraffe from Oklahoma to Topeka, Kansas, 3 minutes from now. And that's not an easy journey to make, you know, when you stop to think about the size and shape of a giraffe. I suppose you could put him in a Volkswagen with his head sticking through the sunroof, but that might be kind of hard on the giraffe, huh? Hear the solution after a new number by Ed Ames. It's called Who Will Answer?
From the canyons of the mind, we wander on and stumble blind. We through the often tangled maze of starless nights and sunless days, while asking for some kind of clue, a road to lead us to the truth. But who will answer? Side by side, two people stand together, bound hand in hand. That love's embedded in their hearts, but soon an empty feeling starts to overwhelm their hollow lives. And when they seek the hows and whys, who will answer? On a strange and distant hill, a young man's lying very still. His arms will never hold his child, because a bullet running wild has struck him down. And now we cry, dear God, oh why, but who will answer? High upon a lonely ledge, a figure teeters near the edge, and jeering crowds collect below to egg him on with go, man, go. But who will ask what led him to his private day of doom? And who will answer? If the soul is dark, I appear it cannot. If the mind is baffled, when the rules don't fit the game, who will answer? Who will answer? Who will answer? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And if a secret button's pressed because one man has been outguessed, who will answer? Is our hope in walnut shells worn round the neck with temple bells, or deep within some cloistered walls where hooded figures pray and fall, a crumbled boots and dusty shell, or in our stars or in our cells? Who will
Kansas is known for many things, sunflowers, wheat fields, Alf Landon. But Kansas is not known for giraffes. They just don't grow many of them. As a matter of fact, there are only two in the entire state, and they live in the Topeka Zoo. Monitor reporter Del Donahue interviewed the director of the zoo about these rare creatures.
As the director, Gary Clark, you must be very proud of these animals.
Yes, we are, Del. Twiga, not Twiggy, but Twiga, which is a Swahili word for giraffe, was the first giraffe to cross the border into the state of Kansas. Jan, our female, and his mate was the second. And this gives us the only giraffes in the entire state.
Where were they born?
The male was born in the Oklahoma City Zoo, the female in the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado Springs. And I might point out, these are reticulated giraffes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there are 12 different kinds of giraffes. And if you look closely, you'll see that their pattern resembles a net.
Yes.
It looks like somebody put a large fishing net on the animal, sprayed them with a buff-colored paint or a red brick paint, took the net off, and left this net-like pattern. Some zoos have the Maasai giraffe, which has a blotchy pattern.
Gary, it must be quite a task transporting a giraffe from one location to another. How did you get these to the zoo here in Topeka?
Well, Dell, it's not only a task, but one experience I'll never forget. In fact, I think that many people on the interstate highways at the time probably won't forget it either, because you just don't see a giraffe every day. Our crate, of course, was about 13 feet in the air, and of course we checked the bridge heights before we made the trip to make sure they wouldn't bump their heads. It was interesting to watch the travelers as they would pass the, I was following in a little patrol car behind the crate to make sure everything was all right. As they would pass me and then see the crate, I'd see them whip out their cameras and take pictures and point and wave. It caught them by surprise.
Gary, the giraffe appears to be a very docile animal. Is it?
No, it is not. I think that most zoo visitors feel giraffes are shy and retrieving and gentle because of their appearance, their large brown eyes, and so on. In reality, I consider the giraffe one of the most dangerous animals in the entire zoo. The adult males are 16 or 17 feet tall. They are the fourth heaviest land animal. Only the elephant, hippo, and rhino are heavier. They have hooves that are 10 inches in diameter and can kick hard enough to kill a lion. In fact, they do in Africa as their main means of defense. Now, if a giraffe were to kick you or step on you or even lean against you, it can be quite serious, and they will try and do this in zoos. I think that they feel you're violating their territory. So if you go into the same enclosure with them, often they will display this behavior. Notice their long neck, which has only 7 bones, just as ours.
In fact, it's a little difficult not to notice their long neck, isn't it?
That's right. And their head may weigh 75 to 100 pounds. They have great mobility in their neck and can swing their head, well, clear around to touch their flank, as a matter of fact. And swinging this extremely heavy head on their long neck is just like a huge wrecking ball on the end of a chain, big crane. And if they swing this head at you, it can knock you stem winding.
I notice here in the Topeka Zoo that the feed boxes are high up on the wall.
Yes, we have their hay in a manger up on the wall, 10 or 12 feet, sometimes 14 or 16 feet, depending on the height of the animal, above the ground. This simulates the leaves on trees that they would naturally eat in Africa. And if you look quickly, you can see that our giraffe is now bending to the ground. They do not do this in a zoo situation unless they feel absolutely safe and secure, because in this position, they are open to attack from lions and leopards in a natural state.
How thick is that skin?
That skin, in certain spots, is over an inch thick.
Is that right?
This surprises a lot of people. They think of the elephant or the rhino as a thick-skinned animal. But the giraffe has thick skin, particularly on the flanks, hindquarters, and across the back. And I think this is because their main enemy is the leopard and the lion. And let's suppose we watch a giraffe in Africa. He's taking a drink at a water hole. He has to bend over. All of a sudden, he scents a leopard. He bolts upright. He starts to run. The leopard jumps, lands on his back, and as the giraffe is running, the leopard slides off, leaving deep claw marks in the giraffe's skin. By having thick skin, these claw marks will heal, usually without any problem. If they were thin-skinned, it may cause serious internal damage. Now, this is all right for a giraffe in Africa, but a giraffe in a zoo, if you need to give them a shot, you really need a long needle.
Gary, is it true that the giraffe can make no vocal sound?
Almost true. They have underdeveloped vocal cords.
And so that's the story of the two giraffes in the Topeka Zoo, the only two in the state of Kansas. The story told by the director of the Topeka Zoo, Gary Clark. This is Del Donahue for Monitor.
Imagine having a throat that long and not being able to sing, huh? Well, we all have problems. Here's the solution to one of yours. Remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel number 5.
I've got a handful of songs to sing you. Can't stop. up a voice when it longs to sing you. New songs and blues songs and songs to bring you happiness, no more, no less.
Or over where ever we may look to, or in the shore where the way we look to, we'll know that we're gonna be alone to the villa.
Tom Singers with a handful of songs. And at 12 minutes before the hour, you're 1 minute away from Andy Williams on the Monitor Beacon.
The conversation station, WNBC, New York. It's Hanukkah time, a time to celebrate the rebirth of freedom, a time to remember the miracle of a light, a time to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the independence of the State of Israel at Madison Square Garden, December 4th, December 18th, and January 1st. It's time for you to call Oregon 79344 for ticket information. Now you can get your reserved seat tickets for Dr. Doolittle, the long-awaited musical extravaganza premiering at Lowe's State Theater December 19th. You've never seen or heard anything like it. Dr. Doolittle stars Rex Harrison, Samantha Egar, Anthony Newley, and Richard Attenborough. Hear the hit tunes from this great attraction like Talk to the Animals and Beautiful Things, performed by Sammy Davis, Bobby Darin, Tony Bennett, Petula Clark, and others. Dr. Doolittle starts December 19th at Lowe's State Theater, Broadway at 45th Street. Get your tickets now at the box office or by mail.
Andy Williams sings a new version of Kisses Sweeter Than Wine right now on Monitor.
I got me a girl and I kissed her and then, oh Lord, I kissed her again. She has kisses sweeter than wine. She had me kisses sweeter than wine. Well, I asked her to marry me, my sweet wife, we would be so happy the rest of our life. I begged and I pleaded like a natural man, oh Lord.
You know, the legend of Ernest Hemingway still lives years after the death of that famous writer. He left behind him a mass of papers, papers that are being carefully examined by two professors from Pennsylvania State University. The circumstances are unusual. The professors, Charles Mann, curator of rare books at Penn State's library, and Dr. Philip Young, professor of English, come to New York several times a month, and they have themselves locked in a bank vault and spend the day there poring over the yellowing papers. Monitor reporter Gil Aberg interviewed Professor Young about the project.
Phil, I guess it's no secret these are Ernest Hemingway's papers, right?
That's right, Gil. There's a tremendous amount of paper down there. The manuscripts of published, eventually published in some unpublished stuff. A whole mass of paper.
Well, what is your mission in this vault?
My primary mission is to give Mrs. Hemingway a preliminary but somewhat detailed listing of exactly what she owns as head of the estate. That's in that bank, because there's so much, nobody really can say exactly what's there.
You know, one sad thought that discussion brings to mind is how many similar batches of papers of famous authors in history may have been discarded before anyone like Professor Young had a chance to go through them. Fortunately, the Hemingway papers will be available to students in the future. The future of Monitor Tomorrow means host Henry Morgan. He'll interview Hugh Downs, who's written a book about his adventures on a cruise to the Galapagos Islands. Also tomorrow, Joe Garagiola interviews Leo DeRocher, and Bill Cullen talks with a cooking expert. You'll also find out about the big business in hippie buttons in Hong Kong. All that tomorrow on Monitor. Remember to listen. And remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Alpert and Wade in the Water. Back here on the shore, a brief time out, and then there'll be more of Monitor right after NBC News on the Hour. I'm Ted Steele.
Keep tuned, the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from FM.